Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the iSports MSU Red Theater Report. I am Tyler Hayward. Red Theater Report is part of iSportsWeb.com. Be sure to check out that website for the latest sports news and opinions. You can like the show on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at Red Theater Report. Today on the show, Mike Sterner joins me as we talk about the addition of Ben Carter and the latest regarding the recruitment of Torian Thompson, but Anthony Iani is also going to join us, and I think that we have him on the phone right now as we're going to talk about his contributions as a motivational speaker. Anthony, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good, Ty. How are you today?
I'm doing good. Hey, thanks for coming on.
Hey, thank you for having me, man. It's always an honor and privilege to be speaking with you.
Flattery will get you everywhere, tell you what. you were actually on our debut show. It was just over a year ago, and you talked about what you're doing throughout the schools and the community. Just a recap of what it is that you're doing.
Yeah, so what I do now, I'm a national motivational speaker for the Michigan Department of Civil Rights, and I've been speaking now for over 3 years. I've been traveling around the country, going to schools, businesses, corporations, and universities, and talking about my life story, overcoming the challenges and obstacles of being on the autism spectrum, and as well as doing some anti-bullying presentations as well. So I'm proud to say that, you know, in 3 years I've been doing this, I've had a lot of success doing it. I'm proud of the work that I do, and proud of the message that, you know, that's been generated not just in the state of Michigan, but all over the country from my presentations. And it's just been a crazy 3 years, and I'm really excited and looking forward to see, you know, what the future holds for me and my career.
Yeah. You talked about the success that you're having. You were actually surprised with an award by Autism Support of West Shore. How exactly did they surprise you with it?
So when I got there, you know, I knew it was a dinner. I knew it was a dinner event, an award dinner event. And, you know, when I showed up, the event took place at the Alumni House of Grand Valley State University. So, you know, it was kind of my home away from home, if you will, for 2 years. And so when I got there, I was just expecting to be, you know, the keynote speaker. And then when they got to the last award, which I believe the award was, I can't remember off the top of my head, but they started talking about, you know, the Relentless Tour, and then they mentioned, you know, my name as one of the nominees for the award. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. So I was sitting next to the woman who organized the event, and I looked at her, and I just said, you did not have to do this. And she said, oh, we had to because of what you do. And so I was really surprised by that. And then they gave me the award and went right into my my keynote speech after that. So it was basically kept under wraps pretty good, and I'll give the Autism Support of West Shore a lot of credit for that. They really kept it under wraps. I don't think anybody here in our office, our department, knew about that award being given out to me. So, I mean, it was definitely an honor and definitely a blessing, and I was very humbled by that night as well.
Again, Anthony Iani, he's with us. He's talking about his contributions as a motivational speaker. In addition to that, CBS News put out a list of the most inspiring people on the autism spectrum. You were on it. That happened in April during Autism Awareness Month. What did these accolades that you're collecting mean to you, given what your initial outlook was? I mean, last time I think we talked about your contribution, you told us that you probably were going to have a tough time making it through high school, and college was out of the question completely. What did these accolades mean, given your initial outlook?
I mean, they mean a lot. I mean, without question, I'm definitely, you know, blessed and humbled by all these accolades that have been given to me. And I know in my heart there's probably many, many more to come in the future for me too. But, you know, at the same time, these are also, you know, accolades that, you know, that are tributes to, you know, not only my family, but to everybody, you know, who made Anthony Iani. And that's all my coaches I've had in life, like coaches, Dan Stoltz at Oakland High School, all my teammates, like Draymond Green, Austin Thornton, Jonathan Jones, my high school teammate, And, you know, all my friends and all my teachers especially, you know, Tyler, I tell people all the time that, you know, I'm indebted to every teacher that I've ever had in Okemos, Michigan because of what they did for me. And I don't know how I'm going to repay those people, but all the sacrifices that they made for me and, you know, all the hard work I had to put into for them, it just showed you how much they cared. And, you know, I know people have asked me, well, what if you, you know, what if you win this award or what if you win that award? And, you know, it's my dad's always told me, like, you know, it's nice to get recognized. It's like the rankings in college football or college basketball. You know, it's nice to get recognized, but rankings don't mean anything. And you know what? I'm not saying awards don't mean anything to me because, you know, they mean a lot. You know, it just shows you, you know, how hard that I'm working in my career and how much more, you know, I want to get out of my career too and how much more work I have to do to be the best. And but I've always told people it's just nice to get recognized. But at the end of the day, you got to look at the people who, you know, have made big contributions to my life and basically who have made me into who I am today.
Yeah, you talked about all the hard work that you kind of have planned for yourself. What exactly are your future goals as you move forward with this career?
You know, I've always told people I want to be the best at what I do. You know, I set a goal of being the best in the state of Michigan as a motivational speaker. I truly believe in my heart that I've kind of surpassed that, and I think I'm the best at what I do as far as a motivational speaker for autism and anti-bullying. I want to be the best in the country one day, and then one day I want to be the best in the world. But, you know, I got a lot of work, a lot of promoting to do all that, but I'm up for the challenge. You know, I've had challenges thrown at me my entire life, and, you know, this is just another big challenge that I'm ready to take on, and, you know, hopefully I'm ready to exceed, you know, expectations and, you know, and beat the challenges once again.
Hey, I just had a question real quick. I'm just curious, what advice would you give to somebody who might be in your position from when you were growing up and going through Okemos, going through any kind of challenge that might be seen as a hurdle? What's your advice to them, and how do they still complete and achieve their goals with those hurdles? What would you say, given your experience?
I mean, the absolute number one thing I would say without question is, you know, don't be afraid, you know, to get help along the way, because, you know, I've met students, you guys, who in the past have said to me, you know, they're grown, they're adults, they're 18 years old, they can do whatever they want, they can make their own adult decisions. But at the end of the day, we all know that everybody can't go through challenges and obstacles in life. I mean, you have to have a good support system. And the advice I would give for a student who's struggling is, you know, don't be afraid to go to anybody in family for help and advice to help you be successful in life. Don't be afraid to advocate for yourself, and don't be afraid to, you know, go to your teachers or go to your coaches or teammates and ask them for help, because, you know, there's nothing wrong with going, you know, to somebody to get extra help, because it also shows that you care, that you want to do well, and it also shows how much you advocate for yourself. And at the end of the day, just don't ever give up on yourself. Keep believing in yourself. Keep doing what you love to do every day. And don't be afraid to fail at what you do in life, because if we are afraid to fail in life at what we do, or excuse me, if we're afraid to fail in life, you guys, at anything we do, it basically just tells us that, you know, we're going to have regrets in life and we will be brought down for the rest of our lives with regret. So just keep believing in yourself and don't be afraid to fail at what you love to do in life.
All right, man. Hey, we're going to let you go, but we can't do that without asking you about a former teammate of yours doing big things in the NBA playoffs. What are your thoughts on Draymond Green? And when you guys played at Michigan State, did you ever see him getting to the level that he's at, where he is probably the leading candidate for the Finals MVP award and almost surefire lock for Team USA this summer?
I mean, it's just been so much fun to watch him do what he's doing. And I mean, you know, I've always knew that Draymond could be the player that he wants to be in the NBA. I mean, the shooting performance he put on the other night was unbelievable. But at the same time, it didn't surprise me because, you know, every time I watch Draymond, you know, it's like that's what he did at Michigan State. That's how he shot at Michigan State. And, you know, I know last year he talked about how he wanted his three-point shot to be better, and it's gotten better. It's only going to keep getting better with more hard work. Just being around him for 3 years here, you know, I could tell that he, that from day one, I knew he was going to be an NBA player. You know, I knew that, you know, I knew from day one he should have went in the first round. And I mean, everybody around here, around the state of Michigan, around East Lansing, and even Saginaw talks about how he should have been a number one, not a number one pick, but should have been a first round pick. But just everything he's doing now, like, I'm so impressed. And obviously it's causing the Cavaliers some issues, because last year they didn't have to worry about guarding, you know, Draymond, because Draymond was doing the defensive stuff, rebounding and passing, getting triple doubles. But he, you know, he's become a big threat, and that's really caused problems with the Cavaliers. And I have no doubt in my mind that he should be Finals MVP no matter what happens. And, you know, I texted him last week after they beat OKC, just told him how proud I was and told him to keep it going. And this is what I love about Draymond. You know, it doesn't matter, you know, if you're an NBA player or not. He's always going to text you back, because that just shows you how much respect he has for his former teammates and how much respect he has for Michigan State. And he showed that with his donation to the university last year. And, you know, he's always talked about, you know, wanting to win a gold medal for Team USA. And he has a big opportunity to do that, which I think he very well could do, you know, in August. And, you know, I'm just so proud of him. I'm proud to know him. I'm proud to be a friend. And I'm more, even more proud to call him a brother, because, you know, what we have in Michigan State, and everybody knows this, it's a brotherhood. You know, it's not just football, but basketball, volleyball, hockey. Like, you're part of something special when you go to Michigan State. And even as students, I mean, you guys know this. As students, you're part of something special at that university. And, you know, and Draymond's just carrying on that tradition of excellence by a Michigan State Spartan.
Hey, you know, you're doing a pretty good job carrying on the tradition of excellence yourself. You're doing great stuff. You're an inspiration to myself, many others that I know. Thank you for everything that you do. Thanks for coming on, man. Keep up the great work.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
Take care, man.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Mike, you know, you talk about, like, a real inspiration, you know, Anthony Ioane, man. You do not have to look any further than that, do you?
No, absolutely not. He's definitely... And it may even be cliche in East Lansing now to say Spartans will, but that Spartans will, a Spartans will to do great things. He's persevered through tough challenges. He's really just been a beacon of light for people that really need it. And I'm sure he's inspired so many people that he doesn't even know. What an inspiration he's been to them in their life. And when you do something and dedicate your life to something as great as to motivate, you know, literally every day, he's dedicated his life to motivating other people to persevere through these challenges, to look for the positives in life. He's doing this every day, and everybody can do that in some level in whatever career they may take up. Maybe a little bit more indirectly, but he's tackling that task head on every single day. And that even speaks even more to the incredible things that he's doing. And certainly, you know, there's a lot of people we're proud of at Michigan State, but AI is definitely one of those people that, you know, he's touched so many people. He talked about how Draymond always, you know, will respond back. He doesn't have that ego where you have to be an NBA player for him to associate with you. AI's that same kind of way. You know, he's a well-known person, and, you know, he's a Michigan State athlete, but at the same time, he's going to respond to every single person who reaches out to him. He's going to give his time in any way he can. And, you know, that's the kind of thing you appreciate about AI among so many other things.
Yeah, he's definitely as real as it gets. And, somebody who knows his story and everything like that. He said he wants to be the best. He does it pretty well, even if he isn't. He gets my vote. let's turn our attention a little bit to Michigan State basketball. We haven't really touched on this much or whatever during the off season. You know, we had to talk a little bit about baseball. Tom Izzo was in the Hall of Fame, I think, was one of the just a few of the more recent things that we've had talked about. And then we also talked about Draymond Green's success since the offseason. But we haven't really talked too much about the addition of Ben Carter, what he brings to Michigan State, the transfer from UNLV. He was considered one of the top 10 transfer prospects in college basketball. Tom Izzo locked him up. What does the Ben Carter signing mean?
He's going to give you exactly what you see on your stat line. I think you gave me the stat line earlier. I can't remember the exact stats, but he's going to give you exactly what you see. He's a workhorse in the paint. He's going to give MSU what we really thought they were going to be lacking going into this season before we confirmed his transfer from UNLV. Just really get you some rebounds, give you a few points in the paint, make it so that the presence in the paint for the opposing team is not as much as it could have been. He's going to help out a Gavin Schilling a lot, a Nick Ward, a Kenny Goins, who would really have to play out of position if it weren't for his addition. So those things are all what Ben Carter's going to do. He's kind of a guy, from what I've seen and heard, that has got the construction work hat, hard hat on kind of guy. He's going to give you exactly as you see on with the numbers. It's not going to be flashy, but that's the kind of stuff that can win you games late in ball games, getting big rebounds, winning those 50-50 kind of balls down low that Tom Izzo always likes to talk about. So it's definitely an exciting addition for the Spartans, especially given what they lost in this off season to the draft and graduation with Deonta Davis and Matt Stowe.
Well, you talk about it. Travon Best was a power forward. And, I mean, he was undersized. So was Marvin Clark. He was a power forward. You're replacing a lot. Otherwise, your front court is looking like you're going to have Gavin Schilling, Kenny Goins, Nick Ward, and then you're going to have to play Miles Bridges out of position as, like, a stretch four. Ben Carter, he does give them a little bit of depth. You said he brings that workman-like attitude, that Michigan State attitude to the paint. Now, the problem is it going to be enough of a presence in the post where opposing teams have to worry about it? Because everybody has that attitude. Kenny Goins, he has that attitude. And if he can stay healthy, I think he could be a big factor in the season. If Carter has Gavin Schilling has the attitude, where's Michigan State going to get those points? I think that question still needs to be answered on those primary post-up options.
Yeah, and it does, and I think you're essentially leading into our next point of conversation. I'll let you delve into that further in a second. But, those guys all kind of have that, toughness, effort, attitude when you talk about the Kenny Goins and the Nick Ward and the Ben Carters. They're all getting – it's all effort, really. I mean, it takes – whenever you have a bad day rebounding, it's because you probably didn't put in the effort you usually do. And those guys are all – 95% of the time, more than likely, they're going to put in that effort to get those boards, to get those extra balls, in the paint and, get a few buckets here and they're not going to be lights out. But definitely you need somebody to step up in terms of scoring. And Michigan State, Tom Izzo is a mastermind. There's a reason why he's had the success that he's had. The Michigan State may not be done with who is going to be on this roster for this upcoming season.
Well, I mean – You said I was, like, leading into the next topic of conversation. I was not doing that on purpose. But I guess it does kind of lead into the fact that the most skilled big man, as far as pure talent goes, he's probably not on the roster right now. Torian Thompson, there's rumors starting to spread a little bit like wildfire, and it seems like with each passing day, each one of these rumors ends up getting confirmed. If you looked at it, first he was considered a heavy to Seton Hall, and then it started to go a little bit towards Syracuse. Then a rumor came out, guess what? His AAU coach has an issue with Jim Boeheim in the way that his players have been used in Syracuse's system, which it's been the same for the better part of 30 years. I don't know what you were really expecting out of Boeheim. And so now it's looking like Syracuse is dust in the wind, so to speak. His mom, like every mom wants her kid to stay close to home as they go off to college. So she still wants Seton Hall. And I think the latest rumor is Torian Thompson, he visited Michigan State. He wants Michigan State. But his mom seems opposed to it right now. Is that the last that we're going to hear until he makes his commitment? And is that where everything actually is right now?
Yeah. And, you know, the mom is a huge, huge part of this equation. I think we always have this discussion about parents. It seems when it especially comes to the Michigan State recruiting, there's always a factor. And you know what? I've never been opposed to a mom or a dad or a parent being a big part of their decision. Everyone talks about, oh, it's their child's decision, which I completely agree, because even within my own college decision in terms of finances and stuff, I had to look over those things with my parent, you know, with my dad. But at the same time, parents should have a factor in that decision. The kid should, too. It should be a combination of both. And sometimes it's the parent too much steering that decision, but they should definitely have input, because while we say this is the kid's decision, at the same time, they're 17, 18 years old when they're making this decision. So they may make their decision based upon premature impulses or whatnot. But it does definitely seem that Thompson wants to shoot up in the green and white. And if you think about it from a strictly basketball standpoint, he's gonna play big minutes right away. He fills a huge need for the roster. And at the same time, how many people, you know, when that ability to fill a roster need immediately is there, are going to turn down an offer to Michigan State where you're almost guaranteed to at least see the Final Four once if you stay on the roster for 4 years. And every year you could be a threat to at least attempt to make that run to the Final Four. So Thompson is – these rumors are probably very, very – they have great merit, I'm assuming. And if he does go elsewhere, I'm sure that the mom is gonna have a part in that decision. But she's loves her kid, and I think ultimately she's gonna see through the light and say, you know, he really wants to go there, and they'll find a way to be able to enjoy her son. She'll be able to enjoy her son's career as much as possible.
If that includes,
especially with
scheduling
Michigan
games.
State having those Big Ten opponents out east too.
Yeah, you have the Big Ten opponents out east, and there are Tom Izzo, anyone, anytime, anywhere. I mean, you know the drill as far as the scheduling goes. There's UConn, there's Villanova, there's good teams out east where she will still be able to watch her son live. Not to mention the fact that I'm sure, you know, she's making an appearance for any Big Ten tournament in any of those bigger games like that. What exactly can this kid bring to the table? He's 6'9", but he's only 200 pounds. He's not exactly the biggest guy in the world. But at the same time, if Michigan State lands him as late as they join the party, as bad as they need a skilled big.
He reminds me, you know, I put him in the same group with almost like a Adrian Payne and a Deontay Davis, almost in the sense that he's kind of a bigger project, and he's got this, you know, just great ability athletically, and ability he's going to be able to have a huge presence in the paint for Michigan State. If he's the kind of guy that stays for more than a couple of years at Michigan State, which I can't really get a read on what he would be
at
Michigan
200
State.
Pounds, you got to stay for at least two.
Yeah, I would think for two. But at the same time, I didn't think Deontay Davis was a one-and-done player. And, you know, he
I still don't think he's a one-and-done player.
Yeah, I don't either. So I don't want to say anything too soon. But I think he's definitely – because I remember, you know, like I said, even with Adrian Payne, when Adrian Payne was first started at Michigan State, he was, you know, he was kind of gumpy almost. It was like, you know – this guy's got a he's got a mold really well. And then when Adrian Payne was done after his 4-year career at Michigan State, you know, he's remembered as you know one of the better players for under Tom Izzo in recent memory for sure. And so I really think that if he's the kind of guy that stays 3 or 4 years, you're going to see a lot out of him, and he could be very well be in the category of somebody like Payne. I remember Tom Izzo was making very bold predictions about Adrian Payne early on in his career, and you were kind of almost like, Tom, are you a little bit in over your head? But Tom Izzo is he's not a psychic, but he at least is a psychic when it comes to Michigan State basketball. He seems to always predict what his players are going to do for him correctly when they just first step foot on the campus. So Tom's got he's got some plans for Thompson, and I do believe that he will bring a huge presence to Michigan State if he does sign on that dotted line for the Spartans.
And the name you keep bringing up is Adrian Payne. Payne, he was a projected one and done by a few people. You don't really hear that talk about Thompson mostly because of the all of the talk regarding the Syracuse Seton Hall, parents' involvement in recruiting. Where is he going to go? Is he going? Is he going to be in New York? Is he going to be in New Jersey? Is he going to be in the state of Michigan? So there, more of the talk is centered around that, but you don't really hear him as a one-and-done player anyway. So I think that it does open up the door where if you can build a solid core around a guy like a Cassius Winston, Nick Ward, and then Torian Thompson. I mean, Torian Thompson, even though he's, like I said, Michigan State was late to the party, and he's making his decision really late in the process compared to a lot of these highly touted recruits, he's still a top 100 player, according to ESPN.
Yes.
So I think that you can build your core with top talent. I think Izzo's starting to get a little bit more of that top talent as it goes by. Miles Bridges, he may end up leaving. I think Langford player, though, Winston and Thompson and Ward, those guys could be four-year players. Kenny Goins still has 3 more years left to his career. And this kid, I mean, he's got so much potential if he can stay healthy.
And absolutely, I would agree with that.
And then you have McQuaid for 3 more years as well. He's getting these talented players, but at the same time, he's still trying to build a program. And I don't think we've seen him recruiting this well since, and this is almost going to be blasphemous to the Michigan State basketball fan, Mateen Cleaves and Morris Peterson, guys who were All-American caliber players, but who needed to hone their craft for a little while.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's the game has accelerated a lot in recruiting, and Tom Izzo's always adjusted to that. You got AAU, and guys are playing all year round, and they're developing their skills all year round as opposed to just during basketball season. So, you know, that's part of why it's happening like this. But Tom Izzo has always adjusted to the new changes. He may be a little late to the party, so to speak, compared to the Calipari's and the Coach K's, but he's still his building a program like you talked about. He's still going to get those 4-year guys. He's just also getting a couple of these guys that are 1 or 2 years and then done now also.
Well, you know, I have my own issues with the whole AAU basketball scene or whatever, but that's a topic for a later day. We are out of time right now. That does it for us today. Thanks again to Anthony Iani for coming on. For Mike Stringer, I'm Tyler Hayward. This was the iSports MSU Red Theater Report.